You might be wondering what that sound is. Well, here's a hint. It's the sound hearts would make if they could sing. Let me explain. This was recorded as part of the Garden of Memory Experimental Music Concert, which happens every summer solstice in the most peculiar of places, the Chapel of the Chimes Columbarium in Oakland. It's a historic building designed by the great architect Julia Morgan in the 1920s. It's built sort of like a maze, and it contains thousands of urns with people's remains. During the concert, this place for honoring the deceased comes alive with dozens of experimental musicians and hundreds of visitors from all over the Bay Area. So, what's it like to be at a gathering of audiophiles in such a unique space? KALW's Martina Castro and Seth Samuel were there, and they brought back this sonic portrait of the Garden of Memory.
Okay, first off, Seth, I think we should tell people how this music festival found its way into a resting place for the dead.
Yes, let's do that.
It turns out that it all started with a bathroom.
I was writing a story for the East Bay Express about best bathrooms of the East Bay.
That's experimental pianist Sarah Cahill.
She's got a show on KALW.
That's right. It's called Then and Now on Sunday nights. Sarah wanted to see what the bathroom at the Chapel of the Chimes was like.
For her story about bathrooms.
That's right. It's actually supposed to be quite nice. So about 15 years ago, she wandered into the Columbarium.
I heard some music coming from somewhere in the building, and it was a very, I have to say, sensuous experience wandering around thinking, oh, it's this way, and making a turn and then encountering a little, you know, cage of lovebirds and a little fountain and a pool, and I thought, oh my God, what is this place?
So that question led to the creation of the Garden of Memory concert. It's kind of an experimental music festival.
And wandering is key to experiencing this festival. We went with a bunch of KLW people, actually, and we lost each other immediately. Because there was no direction or order to the event. People just followed their ears toward echoing sounds all around them.
We followed some familiar sounds.
And also some that were less familiar.
Playing a trumpet and had certain tubes connected to different notes in the trumpet so that the tubes would make those separate notes come out of different parts of, I don't know how to explain what I just saw.
Now remember, we're not in a concert hall or a conservatory. We're in a columbarium.
That's right. We're walking around in and out of rooms with names like Benevolence, Court of Quietude, and Garden of Eternal Wisdom.
Some urns look like books or works of art. It gives the impression of being in a library.
The walls are covered in perfect squares. Each is etched with a name and set of dates. And each square leads to the remains of a real person. David T. Turnbull, 1855 to 1932. Ellen A. Turnbull, 1858 to 1935.
And for the Garden of Memory concert, the Turnbulls are joined by musicians.
Everywhere.
I love how much discovery there is in the building that everyone's wandering through, and it's low commitment.
Eli Warchafter is a violinist, and he's one of the younger musicians here.
He says it's rare to see such a diverse crowd at a new music concert.
Often people are afraid to come in and listen to new music. What's it going to be? People can discover it's quite wonderful.
And experiencing it in what's basically a mausoleum really makes it more profound in a way. But Seth, you know, you and I kept getting separated.
I know, and it was kind of scary.
It was! But at one point we found each other at this installation where sound artist Larney Fox wasn't playing a traditional instrument.
Yeah, it was like this massive, strange guitar slash music box thing.
Bigger than a person.
Yeah, way bigger. Way bigger. There were strings pulled tight across the floor, and a series of motors were spinning feathers at various rates to pluck those strings.
The plucking and the motors turning are what's making this oceanic heartbeat of a sound.
Remember when you asked Larnie this question?
What would you say is more important, how it looks or how it sounds?
I don't know. Would you rather be deaf or blind? You know?
Blind.
Yeah, I guess radio people would, huh?
Yep.
Well, I found his actual answer to be quite interesting.
Let's see, how it looks or how it sounds. What's important is the relationship between the two. For me, this is very, it's very easy to look at what's happening and see how the sound is generated. And that's not true with a lot of new music. There's a lot of things where there's somebody sitting with a computer. They're creating something live, but you have no idea how it's happening. I really like the materiality of it.
Exploring the relationship of how this all looks and sounds is exactly what Garden of Memory is about. Which brings us to the part of the night where you, Seth, took me to my favorite sound.
Have you been upstairs?
No.
There is something amazing.
Let's go.
Upstairs that I think is going to be, it's going to blow your mind.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Oh my God, you are so excited.
I know. Well, can you describe where you took me?
Yeah, so the sound was coming from the top floor atrium where a group of people were in a circle and they were singing. They had their right hands on their hearts and their left hands were on the backs of the people next to them.
It's called the Heart Chant, and it's by experimental composer Pauline Oliveros. Members of the Cornelius Cardew Choir, based here in the Bay Area, were mixed in with regular people who came in and out of the circle without ever breaking the sustained chant. Jed Holtzman, one of the choir members, explained it to me.
Right now there's about 22 people doing the heart chant, and the vast majority of those people just walked up and read the instructions, which are very simple. Basically, to think about healing yourself in the world and basically make breath tones, which is to sing any tone on your breath with the syllable ah.
People in the circle looked transfixed. I didn't want to get in the way, but Jed motioned for me to get in the middle of the circle with my big microphone. It was like entering audio recording heaven.
What happens over the course of a couple of minutes is that you start to actually listen with your body.
That's my colleague Casey Miner, who took part in the heart chant for almost 20 minutes.
You're drawing your tune from the people around you, whether that's a harmony or note you're singing in unison, and your breath rises and falls with theirs, and it almost feels like the music swells or falls according to when one person moves in or out of the circle and takes a deep breath and begins singing again. It's very beautiful.
The bells!
Yeah, the bells. They signal the end of the night. And just like that, this magical excursion came to an end.
People seemed pretty euphoric as they emerged from the Chapel of the Chimes.
Yeah, except maybe Ron Banks.
It was the first time and was kind of surprised.
He came from Sunnyvale to hear his son-in-law play. I found him sitting on a bench outside and asked him what he had expected coming in.
Basic music? This was just different for me.
Yeah, so you wouldn't say that you listened to what they call new music.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, and I'd recommend it, even for people like me who just, you know, like Frank Sinatra.
It's sort of like an invention that sometimes it works, but with a slightly different combination, it doesn't work.
Again, that's pianist Sarah Cahill, who founded Garden of Memory. She says the magic of the night is not in the sounds or the musicians, the audience or the place, not even the date of the festival. It's a combination of all those things.
And you wouldn't want to hear the experimental music somewhere else necessarily. You wouldn't seek that out. But it just strikes you the right way and you want to sit and listen.